All right, guys, what is going on? Today we are going to be here wrapping up our Generations 2024 competition that just happened yesterday. For those of you guys who were able to come, support, volunteer, participate, watch the live stream, do the live stream. Drew, my God, what a stud you are. Thank you so much. I love and appreciate everything that you did. If you guys enjoyed the live stream, watch the live stream. I think we got like 350 live stream viewers yesterday. So very cool to see that people were out and about on their Saturday, but still able to watch and cheer and support you guys on. So thank you guys for doing that. Getting into our post, and then just got a couple of extra things to say at the end today. Some extra gratitude to share out for the event. So this post is titled Events, Memories, and Inspirations, a Generations 2024 write-up. Yesterday was our 2024 Generations event, now a strong staple of the Friendship annual event calendar. I've tried to catalog in my head a lot of the conversations leading up to the event, gauging the nerves and where they were directed, as well as catch some choice words and feedback after the event from those recently initiated. Quick side note, shout out to everyone who did it for the first time. Super proud of you guys. I know it's a little scary to step into that. Events always hold a special place in our lives. They note a very specific group of people who are close to you in that moment, a mental place you're in, a transition, physical or emotional struggle or success that you're experiencing, relationships changing. And in that moment, you can kind of remember what that stage of your life was like based on the event and its pictures. And I posted a picture here of one of my favorite movies, The Sandlot, and it says, at some point in your childhood, you and your friends went outside to play together for the last time, and nobody knew it. At some point, it will be your last physical event, your last competition, your heaviest lift, your last time working out with that group or having that judge you love. I've had many incredible teammates over the years that I spent hundreds and hundreds of training hours with, who I enjoyed the blood, sweat, and tears of stepping between the white lines with, and who I will never get to compete with again. And outside of a few rare instances, we never really knew it would be our last time when it was. I always wish that I had shared my gratitude with them more in the moment. Really told them how much I appreciated the time they spent with me doing this. Time away from their families, their kids' sports, or their careers. Together in pursuit of trying to do something to improve ourselves and our lives. Very cool. Extremely rare. And you never know when it might be your last time that you can get that band together. Inspirations. As the saying goes, only 364 more days until next year's Generations. So for years, Star Fox would send this out every day after Masters. So it always gives me a good laugh in our shout out to Happy Gilmore. For those of you who volunteered, spectated, or participated, now is a great time to start self-assessing and using it as fuel for progression. It's funny that looking back, my favorite week was always the week right after my biggest competition of the season. I had that blank slate of opportunity to map out, and I always geeked out over what my focus would be before the next event that I would experience and how I might attack it. So let's get down to the nerves and feedback. First, if you looked at the events in either the competitive or the recreational divisions and said, I can't do that, then you are lucky. You have free motivation and direction for your training in the coming months. Almost everything in the gym that I've acquired has come off the back of an outright failure, struggle, and even public humiliation in a competition. For me, it was free motivation. I hate, and I mean hate, that sinking feeling of knowing that you'll be required to do something you can't do or are bad at in front of a crowd of people. It's the feeling you get in your dreams when someone forces you to public speak in front of a large group, but you didn't even know that you were going to be required to do a speech. So you just go up and you start bombing and you're probably naked and people are laughing at you and your mouth doesn't work properly or something else bad too. We all kind of know that feeling. It's that pit of your stomach, and it's not a good feeling, right? But it is in the long term. That's what we're going to talk about. What I've found is that feeling can actually sneak up on you a lot in life. taking tests unprepared, asking a girl out for the first time, going into a job interview you're not qualified for, or standing on the first tee of a golf course that you have no business playing. And the only way to get rid of that feeling is to prepare your freaking ass off. The sport of functional fitness did not come naturally for me at all. It took me almost 8 months of daily work to even be able to do double unders at all. It took me almost 3 years to be able to handstand walk just 4 feet after I started trying. It took me over 8 years to snatch my body weight. Sometimes it was a skill. Other times it was a weight or a movement or a rep range, mandatory unbroken sets or unbroken length. Each of these really pushed me out of my comfort zone, and the events themselves forced me to level my game up, both as a coach and an athlete. And I posted a picture on here for those of you guys who want to see of me in 2009 training overhead squats on my back porch without a rack in the middle of winter at our apartment complex. And the patio is actually a little bit smaller than the barbell. And I'll tell the story of this after the post is done. Each of these and more came up regularly in my way in a major competition to stifle my success. That failure was good for me. It put my feet to the fire, and while it was okay to make that failure once, if I made it twice, then it was 100% on me. I had to learn about nutrition and cut weight to improve my endurance and my bodyweight gymnastics. I had to learn about bulking and strength building to get up to the weights required for competition. I had to learn about recovering and mobility to get into better positions and bleed less energy for the harder, longer events. Individuals who fear failure, hate self-assessment, and won't take extreme ownership never last in worthwhile pursuits. The beauty of all of this is there really is a never-ending rabbit hole to go down of self-improvement. I'm almost 20 years in of training, and I'm still finding gaps, weaknesses, and I'm researching training methodologies to help fix them. It's why I love the mixture of intellectual pursuit and physical pursuit of what we get to do every day. I try to embody this and pass it on to everyone in our community through our own events and competitions. I try to help athletes push their boundaries just a little bit, help them expose a weakness, tap into those nerves, rep range discomforts, or movements that they don't yet have to give them the opportunity to double down in training. And once you can do all of the weights and you can do all of the movements, then it's just, how can I make this harder? You could do higher weights. You could make it mandatory on yourself to do unbroken sets, faster split times, etc. All of this takes excuses and just tosses them right out the window. All great successes must be born from failures, learning, preparing, and then succeeding. I sincerely doubt there is anyone who just nailed 20 double unders the first time they tried. No way. We all whipped the ever-living crap out of ourselves and cursed our ropes. No one has ever gotten really good at handstands without falling over ungracefully a few dozen times. No one has ever built real strength without grinding out ridiculous sets of grueling rep after grueling rep and then trying to walk downstairs or go around to work the next day. That's why there is such a high degree of respect to each other as competitors and as spectators. It's earned in the hours. Often when no one is looking and training wasn't the easy thing or the sexy thing to be doing at that time, it proves something to yourself. You hold your head a little higher when you're faced with a challenge and you overcome it through drive and determination to be better. This is what I love about competition. I could care less who wins or loses. I just appreciate the individual growth that I get to see from one event to the next. Even more, I appreciate the people who stepped up their game knowing that generations was coming and those who will make promises to themselves and other teammates to step it up for the next event or next year's generations. I'll leave you guys today with my favorite quote of all time. Don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. Jim Rohn. Thank you so much to everyone who helps Friendship and supports the events. I'm absolutely obsessed with making these events ones that you guys can be proud of and that embody the facility's ethos of positivity and support through hard work and self-improvement. I saw loads of that yesterday. I'm so incredibly proud of all of the volunteers, participants, and the crowds who came out to cheer. Next up, Run Ride Regatta. So that's the end of our post, guys. the biggest thing that I want you guys to take away from this is that those nerves, that tension, that pressure, when you feel it, that should be something that you can train yourself, or you want to train yourself to be something that you should look forward to. You want to put that on yourselves. We want to feel that. We want to need that little bit. And this might not be true at every time in your life, at every moment in your life. And you probably have pictures of yourself. I know I do, when you were going through a really stressful or a really challenging time, and you can actually look at the picture and like feel a little bit of the pain that you were maybe going through, like just in your eyes, or, you know, even in just your body. You know, I had a period of time where I was in the military, I was in kind of a dark spot. And I look at pictures and it's like, it doesn't look like me. Right. Not saying that, you know, competition is always something that is right for us in our lives, right? I was incredibly proud of Maria, my wife, and, you know, Vanessa and Chelsea and some of these other, you know, moms for jumping back into the competitive ring, for after having a baby. And obviously for Maria, it's, you know, like Bo's just over 3 months. And, I think she's maybe 13 weeks postpartum, and she was so nervous, you know, she was so nervous, leading up to it. And I don't even think she was as nervous at before regionals, right? When we were like getting ready for the games, and, or even before she did like individual, events at the Granite Games and different things like that. Like she was more nervous, for this competition. So, but you know, I just kept trying to tell her like, look, the nerves are such a good thing. Like when 3, 2, 1 go happens, your body, it's going to take over what you do. You're going to go back to who you are and your training, and it's going to bring a life out of you that is amazing. It's one of the things that, you know, I love about Maria. And I know talking with Brian and Tim, watching their wives, they were in the same thing. They were just like fanboys. We were all just like fanboys, you know, watching our wives. Like it's just fun to watch other people do that. Like watch other people elevate themselves and put themselves in those situations. It's just fun to watch that success happen. And, you know, it's not impressive, I don't think, or as impressive if somebody just like picks up a skill and it's not hard for them. Right. Actually, one of the competitors this weekend is a guy named Jesse, who's a coach at one of the other gyms in town. Actually, he coaches a couple different places. He's like a corporate wellness coach, but, you know, he started CrossFit with us in 2011 or 12 and, has kept doing it. And he signed up with his other gym to do it this weekend. And, you know, Jesse's a great example of like, I taught Jesse how to do muscle ups in like not even 5 minutes, right? We taught him like pretty much everything it really quick. He's an incredible athlete. He was a college athlete. He's, you know, incredibly like low body fat. He looks like a Greek god when he takes his shirt off. You know, it's incredible. He's always been a great athlete. But double unders, he could not get double unders for years and years and years. And I'm talking like exhaustive practice every day, just could not figure them out. And you can't imagine how hard that is for like an all-state high school athlete, you know, a Division III, like is, I think he was like a conference champion at track at Ashland or Finley, something like that. And comes into CrossFit and is super strong, right? Like powerlifting champion, all this stuff, right? Like great background. Couldn't get double unders. You can just imagine how frustrating that is for an athlete of that caliber. And we set up all these different training methodologies. We tried all the different, you know, tips and hacks, and I can coach it for days, right? But at the end of the day, some people just struggle wrapping their head around that thing more than others. Now, you know, after probably 4 or 5 years, what actually worked best for him was every time we would do a lifting set, he would just right after the lifting set, he would have his jump rope there and he would just try to do like 10 or 15 double unders. And at first he couldn't do it. And then after like years of doing this, he finally started to get to the point where he could do it, but he just did it every day. If I'm going to back squat after my back squat set, I'm going to do 15 or 20 double unders. If I'm going to do clean jerks, I'm going to grab my rope and going to do 15 or 20 double unders. Just do that over and over. And that ended up working for him over a long enough period of time. What's funny though now is he coaches at a different gym, right? And so when he shows up to that gym and everybody watches him do a workout or goes to a competition, comes and sees him at Friendship, right? And they watch him, they do double unders. They're like, oh my gosh, he just makes those look so easy. And that's like the thought. That's what new, you know, people as they come in, you know, they'll watch people do stuff and they'll just think like, oh, well, of course they can just do double unders. Of course they can just do handstand walks. And no, like they can't just, right? Sure, there are some people who, you know, got involved in gymnastics at a really young age, were really good at it, did, you know, went far and can just handstand walk, right? But it's not like a can just handstand walk. Like they lived in a gymnastics gym growing up to earn that right or that skill, right? So there's a learning curve for everybody somewhere, and it gets exposed for everybody somewhere. And in those moments, then you have to buckle down and you have to train for it. Right. And at first there's obviously, it's everything, right? Like I had to train and learn how to do everything, and everything was hard for me. Nothing came easy. And at first, like I was just like, okay, I don't want to say I let that bother me. But what I can tell you is I have become 10,000 times of a better coach and a more humble athlete because it didn't come easy for me. I had to learn. I had to study. I had to grow. I had to suffer through things. I had to try multiple different programs. I had to try multiple different tips and cues. I had to seek out new coaches. I had to hear it differently from different people. I had to try new and different things, and I had to keep trying over and over for some things. And I had to fail very publicly and fall very horribly, right, in front of people. And I've had all of that. And now there's a whole new group of people in the gym that like nobody ever even watched me compete, right? Or like they didn't see me fall catastrophically in front of a bunch of people. They didn't see me get dead last in the overhead squat event and be standing in front of like 3,000 people by myself for like 7 straight minutes in the middle of the competition floor because I couldn't do an overhead squat. They didn't see me break my rope in front of everybody and have to run off the event, come back with somebody else's rope, and then not be able to do double unders because it was a rope for like a 5'8" person in the middle of a competition that I'd trained like for years for. People weren't even around then, right? And so, you know, these things like you just watch what people have accomplished over time, and people just automatically like don't. I don't want to say don't give credit for it. Don't think about the work that they had to take to get there. And so every time we do these events, these are good opportunities and reminders of like, okay, what was written that I didn't feel comfortable with, right? This is like how you do your self-assessment is go back, look at the workouts, look at what division you think is appropriate for you, right? Whether it's recreational or competitive, or if you just did recreational and you're like, hey, that was kind of fun. Like we did pretty well. I felt pretty good about everything in recreational. Like maybe I wasn't pushed out of my comfort zone that much in recreational. Okay, cool. Maybe you start looking over at the competitive events. And you start looking at the movements, you start looking at the weights, and you start thinking like, okay, like I think I could probably do this, but I definitely can't do that. And I definitely can't do that. Cool. That gives you some guidance and some things that you want to do. Let's say it's handstand walks. Okay. We've got some handstand work in programming. We've got some wall climb work in programming this week, right? We've got some wall climbs coming up next week for the unknowns. We've got some wall climbs coming in, right? Wall climb days come with a little handstand practice before. Show up 5 minutes before it. Do a little bit of kick up practice with your coach. They're mandated to be there like 10 to 15 minutes before. So they will help you, right? Find other athletes who want to work on handstands, have them hold a PVC up and support you. Nobody will say no at the prospect of you trying to get better and work on something. Everybody wants to be a part of that. Everyone wants to help support you and get behind you. Okay. Let's say it's, you know, pull-ups. The pull-ups are hard for you. Come in every day, work a little bit on your kipping. Do 2 or 3 kipping pull-ups. Get with a coach to work a little bit on kipping before and after class. Do a little 30-minute session for it, right? Shit, come and ask me. We'll do a little seminar for it. we used to do these all the time. I love doing them, right? All you have to do is just take action. Take some action, a positive action in some way. Ask a coach, hey, do you know a double under program? Yep, I got like 180 of them on the back of my head, I can tell you, right? There's no thing that I haven't worked through that Jenny hasn't worked through, that the other Maria hasn't worked through, that the other coaches all haven't worked through themselves. If you see them doing the thing, right, they've all had to work on it just the same as you're going to have to work on it to get it. There's no free passes here. And that's the way we should want it. Things that come easily aren't worth having. Things that come easily aren't super impressive. If you could just pick it up and do it tomorrow, then why would people come and like watch that? Like it'd be like, I'm trying to think of like the easiest. It'd be like watching like the world walking competitions or something. Like it's just, I know the speed walking competitions exist, but like just a world walking competition. It's like, okay, well, walking's not super impressive. Everybody can walk, right? Things that everybody can do that just come naturally to you that you don't really have to work that hard for aren't impressive, right? It doesn't like blow people away. And if you watch the spectators yesterday, they were blown away at what you guys do. So last thing here, guys, and I hope you guys are still listening to this, because this is the most important one. Maybe I should shift this to the front, but Bob, I hope you're listening to this, because, you know, Bob yesterday, that was truly special. So Bob, it was awesome to watch. For those of you guys who don't know, and Bob, I hope you're okay with me sharing this, but you know, Bob just got over cancer. He did chemo treatments. He had major surgeries. You know, he's in his 70s, and he came out and signed up for our competition and just kicked ass and had a smile, had a positive attitude, sent me the nicest message afterwards. I just hope you guys can appreciate how cool that is, how incredibly inspirational that is, how rare that is. He is a truly, truly special person in our community. And if you guys didn't go up and congratulate him and thank him and just tell him that he is a badass, please make sure that you do that. Because I thought in all of the years, you know, this is probably my 25th competition, like official competition I've run. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen. So, thank you very much, Bob, for being a part of our community. I really appreciate it. All right, guys, let's have a great week. Let's kick some ass. We're back to squat waves. We're back to the unknowns here in 2 weeks. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. Let's get motivated. Thanks.